Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Begin reading at verse number 10 tonight. We're going to read through the rest of the chapter, Romans 10 through 14. We desire your prayers. Thank God for the opportunity to be here. I wouldn't take anything for the midweek service myself. Amen. I don't know about others. Maybe my engine just burns fuel quicker than yours, but I need a fill-up as quick as I can get it. Grateful to God for the opportunity to be in his house. If his word don't change you, you need to repent. There's something that keeps you from hearing the word of God and being changed by it. It needs to be removed. And I don't know what that is. The Lord Jesus said, if your arm offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's pretty serious business. But I tell you right now, if there's anything keeping you from being right with God, you need to get rid of it. You need to quit it. You need to leave it. You need to do whatever you need to do. But you better get right with God. There's little time left. Romans chapter 13, verse number 10. Love worketh no ill. Period. Right? He could have stopped right there. Love worketh no ill. To his neighbor, to his spouse, to his children, to his employer. Doesn't make any difference. You can fill in the blank. Love worketh no ill. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would manifest this word into our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. These two things have the absolute power to change, to revolutionize, to reform, to transform every soul among us. We pray your power revealed here in this building among this people, that every soul would be drawn to you, God, recognizing our desperate need. We thank you for this as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I'd wrote some scriptures to remind myself to read, and I want to do that before I close the message tonight, maybe as an invitation, but I want you to know that if we're to win in this battle, it'll be done in love. You can't fight this battle that is a spiritual battle. You can't fight it in the flesh. The apostle warned that our enemy's not the flesh. It's not our neighbor, right? It's not this world. That's not the enemy. The enemy is the spiritual wickedness. The enemy are those things that we can't see, those things that are manifested in things often we do see and we see the evidence of. But the wickedness is at the core. It's at the root. It's the devil. The spiritual wickedness in high places, these are the things that we must war against. Often we lose the war, or we lose the battles that we fight, because we simply are not fighting them correctly. Right? You can't just walk out onto a football field if you don't have a uniform on. Because that uniform has more than just a number on it. It's got a lot of protection on it. Right? You're not going to last very long unless you've got all the equipment when it comes time to kick off. That's an important part of this for the children of God today. We have been equipped by the Holy Spirit.
I tell you, the greatest power that the world has ever known is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and it abides within you and I. That means that there's no enemy that can stand before you and me. There's no thing that can boast itself greater than our God. There is nothing, amen, that is grander or more powerful than the Holy Spirit that is abiding within you and I. And we need to allow Him to work in us, to move in us, to change us, to equip us, to dress us, to wake us, to make us what we need to be in this present world. There's people dying all around us, undone without God. They're lost and undone. They may or may not ever see, but here's what I know. Until somebody tells them about Jesus, they won't know. How can they know, the apostle said, unless somebody tells them? And how can they tell them except they be sent? I say to you today, we have been sent. We have received the gospel message. We have been compelled by the Lord Jesus to go into the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in and to preach the gospel to every living creature. We have been given a commission. We are the children of God. We've been empowered by God, and the love of God abides within us. And the love of God is able to change people. And if we'll live in that love, and if we'll abide in that love, love worketh no ill to his enemy or his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If we'll allow love to have its perfect work in you and I, we'll become ministers of Christ, ambassadors of Jesus, workers in the field, laborers in his court, soldiers in his army. We can be what God wants us to be if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to have its work in us. I wonder how many of us, though, need yet to wake up. Some need to wake up and recognize that the ruler or the prince of this world is a wicked one. They need to recognize that he's a liar. Need to recognize that his desire is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. If you make alliances with the enemy, the devil, you're going to find yourself without. I promise you, whatever he's telling you, it's a lie. Jesus said he was the father of the lie, and he can't tell the truth. I don't know about you, but if there's anything I need to do, it's to check my life every day for the presence or the evidence of the enemy in my life. I need to see his work and see it as it is and cut it off and move it from me. I need to do whatever it takes to get myself in a place where I don't make provision for this flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit of God to be what God has already proclaimed him to be. The Creator, the power that moved upon the face of the deep and rose mountains up out of the sea. The power that caused something that didn't exist to become. The power that was able to take the wretch like you and I and transform us into the children of a holy God, a divine nature, a new creature, to set us on a course to heaven. I promise us the glory that is awaiting. He is all powerful today. Amen. And he lives in us. And we abide oftentimes as if he has no power at all. Or what a limited view of God we truly have as his servant. Many times as we've been in his presence, as many times as we've seen his hand, as many times as we've read his book, as many times as we've seen his miracles, we ought to live in a way that would share with others that Jesus Christ is undeniably real and alive and powerful and able.
Amen.
Everything in our life ought to resemble the power of God having worked in us and through us. And that knowing the time, I've already preached that part of the message, but you can't preach this next part without saying this one. That knowing the time, that now it is high time that we awake out of our sleep. There ain't no simpler way to say it, but we need to wake up, recognize that when we look into this world, there is no good thing looking back at us. The only thing good is of God. Amen. The reason, he said, for us to set our affections on things above is because there is nothing that is of an earthly value that will create within you something that is of a spiritual nature and able to glorify God. We have to wake up to see these things. Love truly is the fulfilling of the law. But the time has come when we must take the love of God that is in our heart, that is a power that no man can quench, a power that no man can even stand against, the love of God. And we need to wake up knowing this, that it's high time we awake out of our sleep. He said, once you're awake, there's some things you have to do. Right? In this particular part of this chapter, we find here three things that the apostle is clear that need to be done. One is we have to wake up. Two, we've got to take off the old night clothes. And three, we've got to put on the new clothes. It amazes me, and you may, and if this is an indictment to you, I don't mean offense by it. But there's people that are still in their pajamas most of the day anymore. It amazes me. I went into a store the other day. I forget where it was, but I noticed more than one person still walking around in their nightclothes. Now, there was a time in this country, at least culturally, that was just not kosher. Right? It didn't make sense. When you got up in the morning, you took off your pajamas and you put on clothes. Does that make any sense to anybody but me? There's one thing. You know, for some that go into the military, they make them men and women make their bed. Amen. They wasn't allowed to leave until they had done. You know why you made your bed? Because you wasn't going to get back in it.
Yeah.
You didn't have no use for it until the night come again. There's a reason, friend, that we need when we wake up to cast off the work of darkness. We need to lay aside the things that beset us, the weight and the sin, those things that corrupt us. May I say to you today, when you awake and recognize that there are things hindering you, there is a responsibility to take the night clothes off. Take them off. There's an important part of this that culturally we're missing. People live in an ease as if God is not coming. He's coming. He's around, just around the corner. If there's anything spiritual that is alarming, it is that Christ could come at any minute. He could have come 100 years ago. There's nothing he's waiting on. There's no prophecy yet to be fulfilled until the coming of God. The coming of Jesus Christ is what is next in order. There is nothing else. It's all been fulfilled. The only things yet to be fulfilled will occur after he comes and catches the church away. Then there's some more prophecy to take place. But brother, between now and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are living in a period of grace. The only reason he don't come right now is because of his everlasting mercies. Cast off the works of darkness. Cast off, when you wake up, take off the things that have caused you to go to sleep. Take off those things that are mindful of this world. Amen. Be mindful of those things that hinder you and set you back and hold you down. Those things that are of this world. When you wake up spiritually, there will be one that will advise you. He will lead you and he will guide you in all truth and righteousness. He will remove from you, if you'll let him, the coat of darkness, those clothes of the night, those things that you've borne and held on to. Let them go. Let them go. You don't need them.
Bless them, Lord.
They will not help you.
Amen.
In the fight for God. You can't go out and work for God in your pajamas. When you wake up, you got to get dressed. And to get dressed, you got to take off what you had on. And here's what's happening. People are trying to put on the armor of light and they never took off the pajamas. They've never taken off the works of darkness. They're trying to wear both of them. Let me be clear. You can't be holy and unholy. You can't be righteous and unrighteous. You either still got your pajamas on spiritually, or you've been dressed to fight. You've been dressed for the day. You've been dressed to live in a righteous and a godly manner. When we wake up spiritually, when the Word of God pricks our heart, when we are brought to the light and we see that it's day, it is time to lay off the sinful things and to turn, take off those works of darkness. He warned them not to live as the day is clearly upon us, not to live dishonestly, not to live in rioting and drunkenness, not to live in changing and wantonness and in the lust of the flesh, not in strife and envying. We need to cast these things off. We need to recognize that these things are evil. We need to pay attention to the influences in our lives, and if they're ungodly in nature, cut them off. Put a stop to them. Delete them. I don't know what means something to you, but whatever it is, if it's not of God, it's a sin. If we have not the ability to walk in faith in the things that are dressing us from day into day, we need to be adults and we need to be awake. We need to be spiritually conscious that the enemy will lie to you. He will justify these things. He will do everything in his power to continue to cause you to be molested by the things of this world and kept down. Take it off. Get rid of it. Put off the works of darkness. Put them off. Do whatever it takes to rid yourself of the darkness spiritually that invades your home, invades your life, invades all of those places where you are in and out of. You see, I can't change the world, but I can change what affects me in the world. There are things that I can do. I can consciously, having awaked in the morning, I can change out of my night clothes and I can put on the garments that are meant for the daytime. Those are responsibilities that are laid upon us. Wake up, take off, and dress up. I'm normally not the person to tell one how to dress, but I'm going to tell you tonight. And you better pay attention. You better take off the things that are not of God. Lay them down. Give them up. Put them away. As the apostle said, we're not children anymore. Amen. When we become men, we put away childish things. May God help us to awaken spiritually. And when we get awake, may we be men and women enough of faith, mature enough spiritually to take off the works of darkness. Because here's what I can assure you. You cannot put on the armor of light until the dark clothes have come off. I'm not a small person anymore. She's real careful about where she orders my pants from, or they won't fit. And I can assure you, I ain't wearing two pair of breeches at once. It ain't going to happen. You understand what? You see, you got people out there, and they allow everything to ride on their back and on their hips, and then they try to put Jesus on. It won't fit. You can't wear both Jesus and the world. You're fooling yourself. What you've got is a Jesus outfit, but it ain't Jesus. It's still the night clothes. It's still them things that the devil has pawned you, has given you secondhand, has lied to you about, said this is what everybody's wearing. He's a liar, ain't he? And then he sends you to church on Sunday and says, now put on them breeches. And you've still got the old ones on. You can't wear both of them. You can't get bitter water and sweet water out of the same cistern. Won't happen. You can't get good fruit and bad fruit off the same tree. Won't happen. We're smart enough to know that, and yet we live as if we're spiritually ignorant, thinking that we can live for the devil and live for the God that saved the world and still be right. Yeah. It ain't happening. You're lying to yourself. Amen. You're lying to everybody around you. And you believe the lie of the enemy himself anyway. When we wake up, we have to undress. Because I can assure you, while you were asleep, there were things that were put on you. There was baggage attached to you. There are hard things in this. Let me tell you something. If you go to just listening to testimonies of other people, I can tell you right now, there's some heartbreaking stories out there. I, to God, don't understand how it's by grace that some of them get through it. I listened to some today. What little children have to endure, what they go through, foster kids and all of these different things, the ungodliness and the wickedness. It's put on these kids. Let me tell you something. I serve a holy God. He is a God of love. And He is a God of righteousness. And you mark my words, He will judge sin. Not one sin will He let slide. You know why? Because He's holy. He is right. He is not you. And He is not me. He is divine and perfect. He is holy in every way. And I assure you that when He sent His Son, He did so knowing He was giving the very best of heaven. He did so understanding that it was the only way to save a wretched, a worthless soul like you and me. And yet God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want you to make you be clear about this, friend. Whether you're here or whether you're listening somewhere else, there is a God that will judge you. There is a God that knows your sin. Your sins will find you out. There is no remedy except for Jesus. If you ever wake up spiritually, if you ever find yourself in a service, if you ever find yourself in a car or in your room and the Holy Spirit arrests your soul and suddenly your blinded eyes are awakened and you see the light of Jesus Christ for ever so small a time, I want you to know that is your moment. That is your day of salvation, and you better not go past that. That is the window of opportunity that the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you. You're lost, and you can be saved if you'll trust in Jesus. When that moment comes, you better wake up, take off the darkness. Everybody that ever got saved did it the same way. Your testimony may be different than mine. When you got saved, the age you got saved, the trouble you was in or weren't in. Everybody's got a different story. But I can tell you the salvation part happened the same way. You get saved by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. What John the Baptist came preaching was repent. Repent. What you've got to do today to know Christ is you've got to lay off the old in order to take on the new. Being saved today is not simply a restoration, it's a transformation. You can't simply take something at old and knock a rust off of it and hit it with a little paint and say, well, now we got a new thing. No, it's still the old thing. You've just put lipstick on a pig. It won't get better. What you have to have is something new. People all in, I dare say that there are churches filled with people that are doing their best to wear both sets. Live like the devil through the week. Talk like the devil. Act like the devil. Talk with the devil. Do everything they can for the devil. And then come in on Sunday and raise a hand up and try to convince everybody that they love Jesus. It is incongruous. It will not work. It does not work. It's a lie and always been a lie. Doesn't matter who you are. It's a lie. You're just fooling yourself.
Wake up. Take off the night clothes. When you get the night clothes off, when you get the darkness off, then you can put on the light. He said there in verse number 12, he said to put on the armor of light. In verse number 14, he was more specific. He said, put on Jesus. Right? If you want me to be clear about it, that's what Paul was doing. He said, all right, let me break it. You need to put on the Lord Jesus. What he said in Galatians chapter number 5, verse 6, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse number 13, in Romans here, he said, walk honestly, not in rioting or drunkenness or wantonness or chambering or envying or strife. No, he said, cast off that clothing and put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I tell you, the people of God ought to look different in this world. They ought to sound different. They ought to be different in this world. Not on Sunday, on every day. If you're only a Christian on Sunday, I dare say you're not a Christian at all. If you can somehow transform like some kind of iguana or whatever them things are, chameleon that changes, if you think that's how serving God works, you're wrong. The Bible said in the book of Romans, I can no longer even serve sin. I'm dead to it. How can somebody that's dead to something live any longer therein? If you've been born again, there's been a change made in you. You're a new creature. Paul said the things you once loved, you hate now. And the things you once hated, now you love them. Is that you? A new creature? The person you used to be is gone, nothing but a memory. Take off the works of darkness and then you can put on the things of light. Right? You've been trying to do both. Some of us have been trying to wear both sets. It won't work. We've got to be honest about this and find and identify those things in our lives that are spiritually incongruous with the nature within us. You say, Preacher, I just can't figure it out. That's a lie. The Holy Spirit that lives in you will reveal to you sin. Don't try to tell me that you can't figure out what the sin is in your life. If you're a child of God and you've got sin, you know what it is. There ain't a minute in the day you don't know what it is because the Holy Spirit's in there ringing the bell. That's what it means to be a new creature. And if that don't do it, your Heavenly Father will take you behind the shed. People don't know what we're talking about. If you ain't never had a whipping from God, you ain't had one yet. Amen. He'll get your attention if you're His. Amen. You wallering around in your pajamas spiritually middle of the day, he'll get your attention. Yeah, you woke up, but you ain't done nothing about it. You ain't a bit more ready to go out and fight for Jesus, live for Jesus, serve Jesus. You still dressed in your pajamas. We need to get off the night clothes and get on the right clothes. And start doing something that exalts Christ. We'll close. But put ye on the Lord Jesus. Put him on. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put him on. You say, Preacher, you act like as if it's some kind of willful act I have to do. Is it not? Do you not have a choice every day when you wake up whether to do it right or to do it wrong? Do we not miss it? Do we not fail? Do we not stumble along the way? Do we not try this and try that? Have we not learned, at least in part? Have we not grown up spiritually? Are we not on the meat? Are we still on the milk? Are we able to fight for Jesus? Are we able to stand when the persecution comes? Are we able to weather the storm? Are we able to preach to the lost and share the gospel? If we're not, it's because we have not put on the Lord Jesus. Put him on. The old song, and I'm going to close, Vicki, if you want to come. The old song about the two coats, right? One coat was earthly. One coat was full of holes and tattered. One coat was ratty and it wouldn't keep out the cold. One coat was of the earth. Oh, but there was a day come that Jesus offered me a new set of clothes. But in order to get the new set, I had to lay off the old one. I had to put it down. Let's be clear about what happened when you got saved. You surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That instant, when he saved your soul, a transaction took place. He bought me. And I am no longer my own. You say, I'll do what I want. Then you're not a child of God. A child of God will say, I'll do what he says. Not I'll do what I want. I'll tell you right now, a child of God that says, I'll do what I want, they headed for the shed. He's fixing to pull you around. And make sure you understand this. He will pull you around there. You say, I'll go as far as I want to. No, you won't. You'll stop when he puts the stop sign out there, and you'll either go home or you'll go to where he means for you to be. Listen, being a child of God is something we need to understand. It ought to be the greatest and most important thing in my life to think that when my neighbor sees me, he sees Jesus Christ. Because when I am putting on the Lord Jesus, I am in every sense trying to cover up me. Because I can assure you, Alfred, my neighbor don't need me. He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. They need Jesus. And they're looking at you. They're trying to find Jesus. And instead of wearing Jesus, we got them tucked into our heart. We've got it hid somewhere. Or we've still got on those ratty pajamas. We've covered him up. We've got to wake up, take off, and dress up. We've got to put on Christ. The world can't see it. And they're going to have to see it through us. It was his plan. It's his plan. You'll get saved because the word of God came to you. Through another child of God sharing it, or the preached word, or I don't know. God gets a hold of people in all different ways. But I can assure you, in all those ways, it's his word. It's his gospel. Because somebody put on the Lord Jesus. And they didn't make provision for the flesh. No, they sacrificed their flesh in order to be an example unto the world of Christ. If revival is to come in this world, there are only two things that can bring revival in this world. It's always been these two things. There are only two things that can bring revival in this world. One is the Word of God. And the other is the Holy Spirit. What else saves? Is there anything else that can save? Nothing. And how do you suppose that the Spirit of God, where does it abide? And what about the word? David said, hide it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Both the Holy Spirit and the word of God abide in me. The importance of me living godly and righteously, living as he has called me to live, has never been more important than now. If we're to see revival at all, even in our own church, it must be from the power of His Holy Word and His Holy Spirit. And those things are in us. So revival is in our hands. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with what is in us? I can tell you one thing. Until we wake up, get the old stuff off, make certain that we've cleaned our life up, and then put on the Lord Jesus, we ain't going to be able to let our little light shine. It just won't shine until that happens. Stand as we sing. If you've got a need, I don't know how to help you tonight other than to say, if you'll trust in Jesus, He'll fix what's wrong with you. There's an enemy out there, and he despises you. And if he can, he's going to take you to hell. He's going to lead you right into the pit, all the while telling you everything's all right. That's your enemy. If you need Jesus, you better call on Him. If He's calling on you, you better reach out. Don't miss Him tonight. Don't miss Him. As we sing, would you come?